Nonprofit Showcase, and this is your host, Fred Black. And today on the showcase, we have Meals on Wheels. And with us is Stacy Yusko, the Executive Director of Meals, and a board member, Amy McEntee. Welcome, ladies.
Hi, thank you for having us.
Well, you know, one of the things we try to do on this showcase is not only introduce you to people that might not know what your organization's all about, but to enlighten those who are somewhat aware because they don't get to ask the kind of questions and hear the kind of answers all the time. They just maybe know in passing. But when we say Meals on Wheels, I think most people know that you help people get a meal every day. So why don't we start with this? Stacy, how does that work?
Well, it involves a lot of really good-hearted volunteers. I think at the very base, the very first thing we talk about is how we are almost entirely a volunteer-driven organization. So I'm talking about 225 people who either drive for us on a weekly basis, so they pick up their meals at Binkley Baptist Church and drive them to the recipients' homes, or they bake for us on a monthly basis, delicious home-baked desserts that we deliver with great pride and with much excitement from the recipients. Or they help us do setup or cleanup or work on events, serve on our board. We couldn't do anything. We couldn't get a single meal out the door without our volunteers.
So how large a staff do you have that works for you?
We have, currently, we have a staff of about 1 3/4, 2 1/2.
Comprised of how many people?
So we've got the executive director. We've got a volunteer coordinator, Heather Harris, who is doing a fabulous job. Mm-hmm. Our bookkeeper is Shannon Grabowski, and we are actively searching for an operations manager.
So at full strength,
we would have 4 people all working part-time.
Now, explain, you deliver these meals, but where do the meals get made?
The meals are made by K&W Cafeteria.
Which is right behind our studios.
So we don't ever have to worry about weather problems or anybody getting lost on 40. K&W does a great job of supporting us. They deliver, they prepare the meals earlier in the morning for us before they get everything ready for their line. They make them lower in salt, so they're healthier for our senior and disabled clients. And we have volunteers who pick up the meals at 10 o'clock and volunteers who distribute them into the bags and buckets. And then our volunteer drivers come at 10:30 to deliver the meals.
How many clients will an average driver deliver to?
We have 14 routes that go all corners of the county until we bump into the Hillsborough area. And the average route is probably 10 to 12.
I think there are 13 on mine.
On yours. Yeah. So 14 routes. We're delivering to about 180 people on a daily basis at our maximum right now.
And you have to be concerned with gluten-free and the diabetic requirements.
Interestingly enough, we have not run into anyone with a gluten problem. We do make some allowances for our diabetic clients. We have pork and fish alternatives for our clients who don't eat pork for religious reasons, or fish because they just don't have a preference for it. But basically, everybody gets the same rotation of chicken. And
the meals rotate on a basis?
On a monthly basis. Yeah. We do not repeat our entrees within a month.
Mm-hmm. Amy, how did you get involved with this?
Well, I had met Stacy. Our sons were on the lacrosse team together many years ago.
This is a familiar Chapel Hill story, right?
Yes.
And there you were talking, and she says, "And what are you doing or looking to do?"
Well, and I've always enjoyed lots of different types of volunteer work. Mm-hmm. I was a lawyer many years ago, and I've been out of that business for about 12 years. And food is one of my passions, preparing it and getting it to people who need it.
Mm-hmm.
And my father had type 2 diabetes, and so I had learned how to make diabetic desserts. So I got started doing that. And then once I did that, I became more and more interested in what was going on with the board. And Stacy asked me if I'd be interested in coming to a board meeting. And usually what happens right after
that, you can't get out the door until you say yes.
And so I became fascinated with just the whole process.
How large is your board, Stacy?
We have 14 members currently. And we actually have 2 open board positions that we are,
so you're
looking
seeking
for the right fit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How long have we existed in Chapel Hill?
This is our 40th year. And perhaps I should have led with that. Very excited to say we started in October of 1976.
Yes.
So 2016 in October was our 40th year.
And from all indicators, the need just continues to grow.
We had a board meeting this morning, and we looked at our 2016 numbers, and we had an increase of 11% in our delivery. So we delivered over 45,000 meals in 2016.
That's just an amazing statistic.
Yeah. People keep aging. We love it. We want them to stay around for as long as they can. We want them to be independent in their own homes.
So how do you certify somebody as eligible?
Either they're elderly, disabled, or they have a health issue which prevents them from making their own meals, and they don't have someone present at lunchtime that can make the meal for them. So, for instance, if you have elderly parents and they're living with you, but you go to work each day,
and so
we would be happy to take a meal to them.
You can take care of dinner with the occupants of the home, but they're not there during the lunch as well.
Exactly. We have some clients that take our meal at lunch and put it in the refrigerator and save it for their dinner, mm-hmm. but most people have their largest meal at lunch. We bring it to them hot. They sit down.
But they say that's healthier for us anyway.
I think so.
We do it backwards, right?
Exactly.
So you must interact with some of our social service organizations too.
We get referrals from UNC hospitals. We get them from doctors. We get them from friends, neighbors, relatives. We interact with just about anybody in the community that knows someone that they think could benefit from our service.
So if you get a client referral, do you go interview them and talk with them and explain the program?
We do. We do a brief intake interview, we call it, where we go to the person's residence, in part so that we can give accurate directions to our drivers, because we go everywhere. Some of our directions are go down the road till you hit the gravel, take a left at the pine tree. I'm not joking. I'm thinking of Route 13. So we go, and then it gives the recipient a chance to see us and to ask questions, and it just kind of breaks the ice. Because when you're allowing someone
into your
home,
speaking of ice, when we have storms, I guess that affects your ability to deliver.
It does, unfortunately.
Just like when they cancel school because the buses can't get up the streets, that affects you too, huh?
We recently had a pretty good ice storm.
Right. Well, and donor safety is also a big issue. Mm-hmm. When we were closed this week, Monday and Tuesday, and so yesterday was the first day that we were delivering again.
Yeah, we're talking about the 10th and 11th of January.
Exactly.
The great snow storm of Chapel Hill. School was out, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
Right, so they just went back today.
Yeah.
And so I do drive a route once a week with a friend, and I would say probably three out of the homes that we went to had clear roads and clear sidewalks.
Yeah,
the rest of them were
impassable. Even if you can get down the road, getting up the driveway sometimes is a mess, because you wouldn't have gotten to my house until yesterday when it started melting.
Exactly.
Well, look, we're going to have to take a short break. This is Nonprofit Showcase with your host, Fred Black, and we're talking about Meals on Wheels, and we will be right back with Stacy and Amy. Welcome back to Nonprofit Showcase, and of course, we're here on WCHL 97.9 with Meals on Wheels, Stacy Yusko, the executive director, and Amy McAtee, who is a board member who also drives a route. And when we took our break, you said you drive one once a week?
Yes, every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday, and so you do the habitual route.
I do, and I've gotten quite attached to my people.
Well, I was going to say, I don't know if you remember, but a couple of years ago, Stacy, you invited me to ride along on a route. Mm-hmm. And the thing that struck me, I mean, beyond the dedication of the drivers and the care and concern that they had for the clients, was how delivering food was more than just bringing food when you saw the clients react to somebody coming to the door.
Absolutely.
And that human contact. Is that over-dramatized?
No. And one of the wonderful things is I have a 7-year-old son, and frequently he goes with me. He went yesterday because he was home from school.
Yeah, no school.
And so the recipients know Christopher, and they get really excited when he comes with me.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of them will have chocolate or, you know, something they'll give him. And there are lots of hugs involved.
And if you let it play out, you would only get to one house because they wouldn't want you to leave.
Exactly.
So you have to detach yourself and break away. So
exactly. But the eyes and ears are a big part of what we do. We're able to do safety checks.
Yes. Now, that's an important point, too, because if you see something that is kind of alarming or causes concern, then you know what you can do to sort of get some help if necessary.
I think especially for our clients who have family that is out of town, we are just a little bit of reassurance that someone is seeing their loved one daily. And we recognize, because our drivers are the same drivers consistently.
And they can see patterns,
too. They can see patterns. They can say, you know what, he just did not seem his usual self. He wasn't cheerful. He seemed confused. And then we start calling the
And what happens
contacts.
If the door isn't answered?
That well, we have a something. Protocol, depending on we know about the person. The drivers return and say, Mr. Brown didn't answer the door, didn't answer the phone, and then we start calling loved ones to make sure he hasn't gone to the hospital, and we were just not informed. If we don't get any response, then we call the police, and we do a wellness check.
So you're doing more than food. I mean, that's, I think, the takeaway there.
Absolutely. I think it gives the clients a feeling of a security that they know someone's coming to the door, beyond that they like to see the person, they like having the dialogue. It's just knowing that someone is checking on you and that they will be looking in on you.
And the routine.
And
I'm frequently met by people with the door open waiting for us.
Waiting. They
know
the
about time
you should come. Yeah.
And they know your names.
Exactly.
And they know if you have children. It is a very mutually beneficial relationship.
Well, it's a communal
really a
kind of thing.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely. And I like the fact that my 7-year-old gets to be part of the volunteer process.
And he understands public service.
Absolutely.
And this is a service that's being provided. Who pays?
Well, everybody pays. That's always an interesting question for a nonprofit. Our clients who are able to pay a portion of the cost. The meals,
and that's part of your assessment.
That's part of our assessment. We ask them what their monthly income is, and then we have a discussion about what they feel they can afford to pay, if anything.
But you don't drop them if they can't.
Oh, no. Yeah. No, we have some clients who don't pay anything.
Well, in our next segment, we're going to talk about how you get that money that you're using.
Yes.
That they're not paying.
Well, and there's been a trend over the last several years of more recipients and fewer with the ability to pay.
Mm-hmm.
The increase in demand for services, for meals, has gone straight up, and the ability for those clients to pay has gone remarkably down.
Yeah, and that's patterned in other organizations
it is.
Providing services, too.
I think it's a common story. And, you know, there's a lot of interesting research out there, but the rate of poverty as people age goes up.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you're on a fixed income, you've retired, and you live a nice long time, your resources are declining.
Right.
I think sometimes people find themselves in the situation they didn't expect to be. We would never not feed someone just because they didn't have the money.
And their Social Security check is not keeping up with
it's
the
not.
Pace of inflation.
Yeah, that's very true.
So yes. It puts people in a real bind, because I'm thinking there are a lot of people that's probably the healthiest meal they get each day.
I would say that's
I'm
very
sure of that.
True.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If somebody says, I can handle whatever it costs, just tell me what it is. What neighborhood are we in for?
It's $5 a meal at the maximum.
Oh, okay.
So it's a very reasonably priced service. That's kind of the national average for all the Meals on Wheels programs. They figure $5 is a fair price for a meal delivered to your home.
And
the
that's actual, Monday through Friday?
Monday through Friday.
Okay.
The actual cost, of course, depends on each program, but we figure with just food costs alone for the meals that we buy and the trays that we provide, it's about $6.25 for us to get that meal.
So you're subsidizing
everyone.
Anyway,
$1.65.
Yes.
Everybody.
From the start. Mm-hmm.
But what the meal includes, it's a protein, mm-hmm. a vegetable, a starch, and usually
a fruit.
And we get fresh fruit as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
A milk, bread,
dessert.
And a homemade dessert.
And if they can't drink milk, then you give them a juice box or something?
Not usually. Usually if they can't drink milk, we just don't include that.
I see. But you know all of this because you're working with them on
exactly.
a daily basis. And you know patterns, you know habits. And I remember when I went on that route, I forget what number it was, but we were mainly in Carrboro, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it was true. People were waiting at the door. And we went to one door. She rang the bell and says it takes her about 2 minutes to get to the door. And sure enough, 2 minutes later, there she was. So.
And they don't want you just to leave the meal.
No.
They want you to
they
wait.
Want to
they want to
mm-hmm.
see you. They want to talk to you for a few minutes. And then our drivers want to see their clients.
Yeah. Well, Stacy, how did you get involved in this?
Oh, my mother. You know, when you're raised at the knee of a good woman, she actually still volunteers for Meals on Wheels in Tulsa, Oklahoma. But when I was small, she was driving. She now packs meals. They do things a little differently there. But she goes every Monday at 8 o'clock in the morning, and that's what she does with her morning. And I have a brother who has three children in school, and he is the primary caregiver, and he drives for Meals on Wheels. So it's
a
family.
So it's in the family blood, huh?
You know, that's just the most basic thing you can do is to feed a person.
Yeah, helping somebody is a good thing, yeah.
Yes.
And you've been doing it how long now?
Well, I have worked or volunteered for a Meals on Wheels program every place I've lived. So we moved here in 1998. My kids went to school. My husband went to work. I didn't have a house yet to paint or do anything to. So I showed up at the Meals on Wheels office the first week I was here. And I've been a volunteer for 18 years. I've been the director for eight.
Eight. How many affiliates are there across the nation? Have any idea?
There's a couple thousand Meals on Wheels programs. It's a wonderful national organization.
Community-based kind of work.
They do research and advocacy, but they're not a funder. They don't have requirements for the way we do our programs.
So it's not like a franchise.
No. Each is able to do the way its community needs.
Right. Well, look, we're going to have to take a break again, believe it or not. This is Nonprofit Showcase, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Nonprofit Showcase with your host, Fred Black, and we're with Stacy Yusko and Amy McEntee from Meals on Wheels here in Chapel Hill, Carrboro area. And when we took our break, we were talking about all of the various things you've done for so long and being executive director and all of that. Every executive director that sat in that chair behind that microphone I've talked to has said the same thing. This is a generous community, but we still have lots of needs. So how can people help Meals on Wheels accomplish their goals?
We have three events coming up in the spring. And the first one I'm very excited about because it's a partnership with St. Paul AME Church. On Saturday, March 4th, they are hosting their annual walk-run race that will benefit the neighborhood project that they're working on. But also Meals on Wheels will receive a small portion of any money that is raised in that race and walk. And I would encourage people to either go to our website or to call up Reverend Nixon at St. Paul AME to get details about that.
I think it's on their Facebook page, too.
It should be.
Yeah.
They're a lovely, lovely congregation. And then in March, we are doing something for the first time with Brent Wall from the Hickory Tavern.
Mm-hmm.
We are doing a March for Madness Meals on Wheels Charity Day, where we are having a lot of different restaurants host us, or they will be giving a portion of the proceeds that are raised with any meals they sell that day, all day long, breakfast through dinner. We're very excited
about
that.
That's a great idea.
Tuesday, March 14th, the whole day, and that's the kickoff of March Madness, so the tournament games will start that day. We thought that worked out well.
Appropriate.
And then we're doing an ongoing event.
Yes, Dining for Dollars. This will be our fourth year. Mm-hmm. And Hickory Tavern, again, has been gracious enough to host us every time. And it will be Wednesday, May 24th. And that will be an event in the evening. We will have the tickets will include dinner and drinks. And then we'll have a silent auction. And last year we had another online live.
This is done at Hickory Tavern?
At Hickory Tavern. And it's a really festive.
The Hampton Inn Hotel.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a really festive, fun event. And we've taken over the entire restaurant the last couple of years.
That is great. Now, you have a website, too.
We do. www.chcmow.org. And it's a bright, information-packed website that's done for us by Mary Beth Greeley. She keeps it current.
And if you can't remember the address, just put Chapel Hill Meals on Wheels in Google.
And
it'll come right up.
It will.
Google knows everything.
If it's not Google, it's Siri.
Well, whoever you use, you ask them. And your website does have a donate button, right?
It does have a donate button. We would be happy for anyone who feels so inclined to click on that button. But we also have a volunteer form, and we have a referral form. So if you know anyone that needs
a meal. So you can
do
all three things right on the website. So even if you can't give money, you can give some time and energy.
Absolutely.
And that's probably one of the things that distinguishes our community, because we have people who are willing to serve. Everybody just doesn't have cash to give, but they can give a few hours.
I'll tell you, every time we've put out a call for anything, it's been met.
Absolutely.
It's a great community that's very other-focused.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you look at what you're providing, I think people respond to those kinds of needs because we do know it's a growing need.
It is.
And the different organizations work well together.
Well, before we end, what's one last word you'd like to leave with people about Meals on Wheels?
Well, at our board meeting today, one of our board members, Lee Strange, said that what he knows is that the best thing about Meals on Wheels is it's grace, that when you are giving a meal to someone, you get a feeling of grace from that process.
Well, we are out of time, but thank you very much, Meals on Wheels, and this is Nonprofit Showcase.
Thank you.
Thank you.